So we're in the last session, really. Where do we go from here? And I'm going to kick it off with sort of just talking about reporting and recommendations, and I'm going to talk about neither one of those things, just for two reasons. One is I think that there's a lot more ideas out there, and I'd really like to hear from the rest of the people in this audience, the rest of the people who watch this online, and I encourage you to send us your ideas at invasives@conservationxlabs.org, and we'll share that later on. The second is we've come up with a set of recommendations, but I think those recommendations have shifted just listening to today's debate, listening to the ideas that are out there, and they need some reconsideration. We are going to have a report from the summit that we'll do with NISC to make recommendations to inform scientific, technical, and policy frameworks, programmatic initiatives for senior executive office officials and key decision makers in this next administration. And I think part of the language that we heard is it's important how we frame it, and I think that will be part of the consideration. But I did want to share kind of three things that I've learned, right, through this incredible day, and I think it has been a great day and even better because of the executive order. You know, understanding and really comprehending the powers and the limitations of government. Government does all these things. We fund research, we create regulations, we set policy, we have purchasing power, we manage our public lands, and the same thing is true at the state level. So how do we use this power in ways to address this issue, to unlock innovation? And what are the relative aspects of these functions that'll change in the next administration? Because there will be changes with every administration, right? I think it's important for us to make and invest in a knowledge framework for the social licenses for new technologies that we have. How do we actually create social legitimacy, credibility, and trust? And it's difficult to do when you have technology that is increasing exponentially. And the difficulty of that exponential increase is it is almost impossible to imagine what it will be like a short period of time later. And it's also really critical now, given that the very concept of what constitutes evidence has been diluted in different ways, not because of this an incoming administration, but literally because of the ways that we have been sharing knowledge. I think transparency is going to be key, and it's going to have to be beyond just publication in the Federal Register. I don't think that constitutes transparency. We have to actually work harder in thinking about it. I think we need to think about how we unlock the private sector through innovative partnerships, and we've heard that. The solutions will be both inside and outside of government, but it won't necessarily be government that will scale. We can harness and bring in new people through prizes and challenges, things like advanced market commitments, where we can actually set a commitment to buy X number of units of a product if a company or others deliver. And I don't think we can focus on pilots, but we actually have to think about scale from the beginning of all our activities. And we need to think about scale even when we're thinking about the research and the products that we're developing, and whether or not we really are doing something that's revolutionary over evolutionary, as Carl pointed out. I think in terms of fostering innovation, technology can help with a number of things: taking repeated activities, difficult access places, the ability to increase the cadence and coverage of areas covered. It can just greatly improve on human capacity. Missy Cummings, a friend of mine who was the first female naval fighter pilot, told me that when she takes off from an aircraft carrier, she is required to actually keep her hands up on these handles above in the windscreen. And the reason for that is they trust humans so little that they actually want to see that their hands are nowhere near the controls because the process has been automated. How do we use technology to actually help us do things which we have reached the limits on our ability to do? We need to rethink, I think, fundamental approaches, and again, focus and recognize the power of exponential change. We have these newcomers, Facebook, the world's most popular media owner that owns no content, Airbnb, the world's largest accommodation provider that owns no real estate. How do we fundamentally rethink the solutions? And frequently, these ideas that seem crazy, one of which was the human genome experiment that was through 1% of the genome halfway through, people said it would take 500 years to finish, right? It was the power of the exponential. We've got to be able to invest in those types of things. We've got to be able to take those risks. And that's the last piece, is how do we fundamentally rethink risks? And what is the basis? We've got this principle that came out of Rio and other places, the precautionary principle for how we approach these issues. But is that actually costing us species and species extinction if we're unwilling to take risks? What does it mean if we're going to lose all the coral reefs, for instance, in the Great Barrier Reef? What does it mean if we're going to lose species, all the bird species that we value around the world that are endemic to these islands? What is the balance? And that is a question not just for us, but I think for the social scientists, as Ken pointed out. I'm gonna stop here, but I am unbelievably optimistic. I'm unbelievably optimistic because I think we, the people in this audience, are the heroes that will address this challenge. And we've got the capacity to do so. We've got the technologies to do so. Let's science the heck out of this. All right, thank you guys. Thank you.